There you go. Got it off my chest. I feel better now. Now we can go to meeting. Mark chapter number 2. Look in verse number 1. Pastor and Brother Louie, y'all have heard this before. So if y'all want to, y'all go smoke or do whatever. I don't care. But the rest of us will enjoy ourselves. Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." Can I just take a time out right there and say that when he's in the house, it'll get a little bit noisy? Yes. Amen. When he shows up in the house, amen, it's going to get excited. Amen. Hey, business picks up when Jesus shows up. Amen. Hey, I've been in church enough times when he wasn't there. I've been in those times when it just seemed miserable and you couldn't wait for it to get over because God was there. But I'm glad to say tonight that when he shows up, amen, I like it when he shows out. Amen. But it will get noisy. It may be shouting like we talked about this morning. It may be through singing. It may even be through crying. But there's going to be some noise when he's in the house. And maybe, just maybe, the reason tonight that so many churches are dried up and dead up and down the road is because God ain't at home. It's a little noisy here tonight, so I feel at home, amen. But most importantly, we want him to feel at home. We got to have him. You can bring in the best preachers in America. You can bring in the best singing. You can pump your meetings. You can promote them and advertise them all you want. But if God doesn't show up, it's all in vain. The old songwriter had it right when he said, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." He knew what he was talking about. It's all in vain unless he shows up. Well, that was a fun little buzz right there. Verse number 2 says, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." In this story that we just read, we find pretty much three groups of people. We find some men here that cared about their friend. And they were determined to get their friend to Jesus because they knew Jesus could help him. They did not let the crowd set them back. They didn't let the circumstances hinder them. When they couldn't get through the doorway, which would have been the typical way to get into the house, they said, We got to get him to Jesus. So they crawled up on the roof and just tore the roof off the place so they could lower their friend down to Jesus so they could get him some help. I want to say right there, God give us some people, amen, with a love like that for one another. Amen. That we would be determined enough and care enough about each other that when somebody needs help, we would do what we could to help them. But instead, amen, as hard shell Baptists, amen, a lot of times we just want to kick each other when we're down. We want to just kick each other even harder when somebody's hurting. And then when we do try to help, if it don't work out the first time we try, we just give up. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we tried, but you know, it just didn't happen. Sorry, buddy, you own. We tried. Or, you know, if we were like most, you know, Baptists, Southern Baptists down south, that's the big thing. If we were like most of them, amen, we'd had to say, well, we got to have a deacon's meeting. Amen. We'll see how the board votes, and if they vote right, we'll go up there on that roof and see what we can do. They just wanted to help the friend. You find another group of people that were just standing aside criticizing everything that was going on. They were just there to nitpick. They were there to find fault. Well, what do them men think they're doing? Look at them. They're tearing that roof up. Are they going to pay for that roof? Now, that ain't how Grandma and Grandpa did it. No. I just don't know about that. Mm-mm. And all they could do was find fault and criticize. And let me say, when God shows up, so will the criticizers. So will the nitpickers who just want to come along and pick everything apart. Well, I don't know about all that shout and everything. I just don't know. It's kind of fleshy. I don't know about all that raising hands. I don't know why they got to be so loud down there. Hey, you know what's happening? When you do that, you're missing the blessing.
Yeah.
You miss it. You miss the blessing because you're so busy finding fault with everything. And I'm just going to be honest with you. If y'all are anything like me, you ain't going to have a very hard time finding some fault. I have a hard time hiding my faults half the time. But we miss the blessing because we're so busy being critical of what's going on. And you mark it down, when God shows up, somebody's going to get critical. Let me say, don't you be the one that gets critical. God starts moving here tonight or throughout this week. Don't you be the one that gets critical and hinder this meeting. Because I believe the majority of us are like the third group in that story. It said they glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." The majority praised God for what was going on. That's the crowd I want to be in. The crowd that said, "Hey, that may be a little different. Never saw it on that fashion, but hey, Jesus still worked. Jesus still got glory by doing what He did, and I just rejoice in what He's doing." That's the crowd I want to be labeled with. And you know, so many times in our life, so many times we come into church, amen, and we come into church with our little box. In our mind, we've got this little box, and we try to put God in that box. God, here's my life. I want you to take my life and use it. But, oh, well, I don't want to go that far. Lord, we're giving you our children, whatever you want to do with their life. Oh, but dear God, don't send them across the seas to be a missionary. If we're not careful, we'll do that this week in this revival. We'll come in with our little box, our little revival box. Looking for a good time from the Lord. Going to have revival. I mean, preacher preaches. Preach as hard as you want to. Just don't hit on my sin. Hit on everybody else's, but don't hit on my sin. And we think we can. We got it in our mind. Here's what I want to happen. Here's what I want to see happen. And no doubt the preacher and myself, you know, we've got our expectations of what we'd like to see. But ultimately, it's about what He wants. It's about what God wants. And we need to realize, amen, tonight, that God is a big God. And He can do whatever He wants to do, however He wants to do it. He can use whoever He wants to use to get the job done, whether you like it or not. You don't have to like me this week. That's fine. I'm just here for a few days and I go away. You don't have to like me. Amen, but don't miss something that God might have for you just because you maybe don't like my style. You got God in a box tonight. We need to get God out of our little box. We have our little prefabricated ideas of what should happen in a revival. What we want to see happen. We think it comes in a little box. And I'm sorry, they wouldn't let me check my little revival box onto the plane. So we'll just have to see what God has for us this week. But just for a few minutes tonight, I want to preach on that thought. Getting God out of your box. Getting God out of the box. Lord, we need You now. I need You, Lord. I need Your touch. I need You to speak through me, God. And I pray, Lord, You'd help us to preach. And Lord, please give us the words You would have us to say. Lord, please help us to say them with the right spirit, God, that would please You. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Getting God out of your box. Flip over in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter number 6, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Just look at a few areas in our lives, amen, where it would probably help us if we would quit trying to confine God to our little box. And I realize I've heard preachers say, and I realize that you're not going to put God in a box. And I understand that. But in our minds, a lot of times, we limit ourselves. And we try to limit God. And the fact is, He's going to do what He wants to do, so we might as well get behind Him and go with what He's doing. Amen? Because He's going to do it anyway. So I'd rather be on His boat, amen, doing what He's wanting to do. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. You want revival this week? You're going to have to get God out of a box. Amen. You're going to have to get out of this mindset. Well, it's going to be just like the last one was. It may go a different, totally different direction than what your last revival meeting went. But here's my question tonight. Here's the big question. Are you willing to do whatever God tells you to do in order for you, your family, and this church as a whole to have revival? Are you willing? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone in order to see God do something great? These men got out of their comfort zone. They got up on a house, might have been a complete stranger's house, and they tore the roof off. Do you think they felt comfortable doing that? I'm sure they didn't. But they did it because they loved their friend. How far are you willing to go tonight? Look in chapter number 6 of 2 Samuel. In verse number, we'll begin in verse number 14, I reckon. But David, just so you know what's going on, David and his men are bringing up the ark of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom. And the ark back in those days, it represented the presence of God. And for this period of time, they've been without the presence of God. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times, amen, where I got a little backslidden in my heart. And amen, I missed the presence of God, and it was a miserable time. And here they've been without the presence of God, so they're excited because they're coming back with it. They got it back and they're bringing it into the city. In verse number 14 it says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might." And by the way, it wasn't a little boogie-woogie jig either, amen. Amen, it was right, it was proper. "And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart." She despised him, the Bible said. And all he was doing was praising God, giving glory to God because they had His precious presence back. And all she could do was look out the window and despise Him. And I don't know why she despised Him. The Bible doesn't go on to say exactly why she had such a bitter attitude about what He was doing. But He was just worshiping God. Let me say, number one tonight, we need to get God out of our box in the area of worship. Amen. We've got our little ideas as good fundamental Baptists, you know, how worship should be. It should never get too loud. Should never get too wild. You know, we're so formal and we're so traditional. Amen. And really all that produces is deadness. And it produces dry services. And it produces an attitude where people just go to church the same reasons they do down at the Catholic Church. Because it's, well, you know, it's the right thing to do. And it is the right thing to do. But if we're going to do it, amen, we might as well enjoy ourselves, amen. We might as well go with a good attitude, amen. Ready to rejoice, ready to praise, ready to sing, amen. And ready to worship the God of all glory. We came out of that mess. Hallelujah. I don't want to go back to that. And what our country is full of today, and we pick on the Northeast a lot, but really it's all over the South. It's in the Midwest and Southwest. We got a bunch of Baptist Catholics. In doctrine, they line up with the Bible. But in everything else, they're so formalistic and they're so programmed like little robots. They're no different than what goes on down at the Catholic Church. I don't want that. Amen. I want to be in a place where there's some life. I want a church, amen, where there's liberty, amen, for the Holy Ghost to show up, amen, and do something I cannot do. Do something, amen, that you can't stir up or work up or pump up. I'm talking about something that's real. I'm not talking about this wild stuff. I'm not talking about the charismatics and all that. I'm talking about old time, old fashioned shouting, old fashioned worship. The way they did in days gone by, we need to get back to that. Our worship toward God. I don't know what it might have been. Maybe she was just scared because it was something unusual to her. Maybe she had never seen anything like that. Maybe it bothered her a little bit. I remember growing up as a teenager, and I was telling the preacher the last couple days, been telling him a little bit about this. I didn't grow up in this kind of an atmosphere. I didn't grow up around shouting. I didn't grow up around camp meetings. I grew up in a very dead church. We had our doctrine straight. We had the King James Bible. We had all those things, but we had no life. Nobody ever told us we could enjoy it. I grew up around all that stuff. If you'd have come to our church, if you'd have come to our church and said something like, "Boy, we had a good meeting at our church last night. I mean, the Holy Ghost showed up." We would have thought, "Whoa, you're spooky, man." When I was 19 years old, we finally left that church and we moved to another church down the road. And that church was a little bit better. They'd say amen every now and then. They'd raise their hands every once in a while. It wasn't just real wild or nothing, but I'll never forget one thing that preacher did when I was 19 years old. He loaded us teenagers up, and he took us down to Resaca, Georgia, to Brother Sammy Allen's camp meeting. Now, I don't know, y'all may not know Brother Sammy up here, but Brother Sammy's crazy. I mean, he's crazy. You never know what them people's going to do. And I'm certainly not criticizing them. They love the Lord. And that was my first experience, amen, in old-fashioned worship. But I remember getting down there and then his camp, Faith Baptist Camp, it's like, down south, it's like the Mecca of camp meeting. I mean, they'll pack 2,000 people into this huge auditorium. But I mean, people, I mean, they're starving. They're ready to go, amen. You throw them a biscuit, let's go at it, amen. They're wild and crazy. And I've never been in camp meeting in my life. And he's going to put us in this atmosphere. I remember that first night the preacher got up to preach, wild man. I'd never seen anything like it. Threw his water on the carpet that night and, you know, just messing his hair up, loosening up his tie, going nuts. Getting red in the face. I'd never seen anything like that. And after he got done preaching, they gave an altar call and people started coming forward, getting saved. Getting born again, amen, and people started getting excited. They should. But they started getting excited and they ended up, they said, "Why don't this family come up and sing for us while these are praying? Come sing." And that family got to sing and the people of God started rejoicing in the Lord and getting happy in the Lord. Amen. And I remember, I'll never forget it. Up off that front row, a young man jumped up and started running the aisles. And I thought, "Whoa, what in the world? Son, he's really got to go to the bathroom." But about that time, another fellow jumped up. Before I knew it, there was five or six people running around that building. And I thought, "Dear God, what in the world is going on here?" About that time, I mean, I was scared. I really was. I'd never seen anything like that. And about that time, the lady sitting right behind me just jumped up and started screaming at the top of her lungs. And I thought, "Lord, have mercy." Here I thought this preacher was straight, man. He done took us to a big charismatic shindig. I thought, "What in the world?" I'm thinking, "Man, I'm going to call mom and daddy as soon as church is over and say, 'Hey, we got to find another church. This guy's crazy.'" And the reality is, it's a shame that as a 19-year-old boy who had grown up in an independent, fundamental Baptist church, it's a shame that the first time I saw real worship, all I could do was try to associate it with what you see on TV. I tried to associate it with the charismatics. And these were just a bunch of people enjoying the presence of God, worshiping their good God. There was no unknown tongues being spoken. There was nobody falling out in the floor, rolling around, barking like dogs. There wasn't none of that mess going on. It was all decent and in order, but I had never seen anything like that. Now let me go on to say right there, I'm glad I got used to it. I'm glad I got around it some more. I'm glad to say I'm one of them now. Amen. Amen. I like worship. I like, amen, when there's liberty to worship God. And it would do some of you good this week to get God out of your box. Amen. I know most of you, you're pretty excited, but some of you, you're dignified and you're proper. And it'd do you good to get God out of your box. Amen. It'd do you good to say, "God, I love you. God, thank you for being good to me. God, thank you for blessing me and my family. Thank you for blessing us with a good church. Thank you for saving my sorry soul from hell. God, I love you. and I want to praise you and give you glory and honor and thank you. Hallelujah. It'd do some of you good tonight maybe to stand up and say hallelujah. It'd do some of you real good to raise your hand up in the air and say thank you God. I just want to praise your precious, precious holy name. Because he's worthy, amen. You better believe he's worthy of all praise and all glory and honor. And you need to get God out of your little box and give him some praise because he's been awful good to us. He's been awful good to you. He's blessed your family this last year in ways you could never imagine. And you ought to let him know it, amen. Hallelujah, he's worthy. Glory to God. Hallelujah, thank God. He's wonderful. Yes, hallelujah. Hey man, I could get hung up right there. But when you're talking about worship and praising God, that's a good place to get hung up. There's one for my wife. There's one for my kids right there. Amen. Thank God. Boy, he's good. I don't know about all, that's just shallow stuff. Oh, shallow my foot. Amen. Worshiping God ain't shallow.
That's right.
It's good. We need more of it in this country. And he's throwing tissues on the floor, making a mess. I can see some of you right now. He's making a mess. Is he going to pay for that box of tissue? You've got God in a box. You're missing the blessing. I'll clean my mess up when I'm done. I'll pay for the box. Hey, if I can have a good time, it don't bother me at all. Amen. He's worthy. He's so worthy tonight. Boy, it's wonderful. Maybe she was scared of the unusual. Maybe it was a situation not understood on her part. I mean, she's looking out the window. There's a window pane between her and what's actually going on. Maybe she didn't understand that they had just gone and got the ark. Let me say, maybe there's someone here tonight. They're praising God. And they're thanking God. Maybe they've moved to an altar already just to pray. Don't be critical of them. Maybe you don't know what they're going through in their life. Maybe you don't know the battle that they're facing in their life right now. Don't you be critical. Well, they're down there at the altar praying. And he ain't even given the invitation yet. You need to get God out of your box. Well, I don't really feel... They're up there shouting and crying. It's just not really doing nothing for me. Maybe you don't know what they're going through. Maybe you don't know what that brother or that sister's facing in their life right now. And I say, quit criticizing. Leave them alone and let them worship God. This might be... Hey, for someone here tonight, this might be the only joy they get until we come back the rest of this week. They may be facing all kind of junk out in this world that you know nothing about. And don't you dare try to criticize them for worshiping their God. Maybe it was a situation not understood. Maybe it just shamed her because of her upper class position. I mean, she's David's wife. She's Saul's daughter. I mean, she's been raised in royalty. Maybe she was ashamed of her husband. Well, good night. Look at that idiot out there. He's going to hurt our family name. Let me say, ma'am, don't be ashamed. If you got a husband that likes to praise God, he likes to shout the victory every now and then. Don't you be ashamed of that. You better thank God he loves God and that he's not ashamed, amen, to give him some praise. Amen. Some of you men, you got a wife that likes to worship God. Don't be ashamed of her. Amen. Thank God you got a wife like that. Amen. Amen. Now, you ought to be ashamed if she shouts louder than you do. Amen. You might ought to be a little embarrassed right there, big boy. Amen. Our worship toward God. We need to get God out of the box and worship him this week. Amen. Well, I like it. I'm having a hard time moving on, but I got to. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 38. The Bible says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now let me say, that's some pretty hard preaching right there. It's easy to read, but you think about it, that's hard. Somebody smacks you upside your face, you're supposed to turn the other cheek and say, here, have this one too. Somebody sues you, you say, well, go ahead and sue me for this too. That's hard stuff. But the Bible says that's what we're supposed to do. But look in verse number 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. The Bible said it's a good thing to go with that brother that mile and help him out. He said, but if you really, want to do something good, just go with him an extra mile. Go with him that unexpected mile and help him out a little further. Let me say number two tonight, we need to get God out of the box in our walk with God. In our walk with God. No doubt tonight we could all stand to get a little closer to God. We could all, amen, it wouldn't hurt any of us, us preachers included. It wouldn't hurt us to just nudge up a little closer to Him and get to know Him just a little better. That's why we're here this week. We want to shout her out and have a good time, and that's fine. We want to do that. But more importantly than that, we need to just get closer to Him. And you know what will happen? The closer we get to Him, the more we will worship Him. And the better the worship will be as we get closer to Him. What about your service toward God? Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Say, well, I'm doing pretty good as a Christian. I'm doing all right. I go to church on Sunday. Sometimes we even do our best to make it back on Wednesday night. We pay our 10%. We put our tithe in. We do those things. You know, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. Yeah, the average Christian in America thinks they're doing pretty good. But let me say, pretty good ain't getting the job done. Pretty good is killing us. Amen. What about it this week? What about it? You willing to step it up a notch? Take it a little further? Let's get beyond pretty good. Let's get beyond average. Amen. We've got church members, amen, that are full of pretty good and average and doing okay. We need to step it up a notch. How you doing? We come on Sundays, you know, but I mean, I wouldn't expect us to be in revival every night. We'll try to make it a couple nights, you know. The preacher, I'm sure, has been announcing this for months now. I'm sure he's been letting you know what was going to be going on this week so you could make arrangements to be here. Now listen, I'm an understanding person. I understand some people, some elderly people, can't get out and come. I understand that. I understand there are some people you absolutely cannot get off of a night job. I understand that. But some of you, you've got it already had. You've already got it in your head what nights you ain't going to come because you've got things you think are better to do. Maybe it's your favorite television on TV and you can't miss it. You can't miss your favorite TV show, amen. Hey, I'm telling you something. You got God in a box. Amen. You think, amen, you think you're going to miss something if you don't watch that TV show. The preacher said it this morning. You're going to miss it if you don't come to the house of God. The service that you miss this week will be the one that the Lord intended for you to get. It was going to be the one that was going to help you, but you had God tucked away in a box. And you had your such important things to do. And you're going to miss what you needed. And if that's the case, I'd hate to be in your shoes. That'd sure be a bad way to start off what could be a great year. By missing right off the bat, by missing what God had for you. And listen, it's not because there's a little short, fat, redneck preacher up here preaching. It's because, amen, your church is having revival. Your pastor's expecting God to do something. And we know that God's able to do something if we want Him to do something. But He can't do it if we ain't here. I would encourage you, do whatever you can, whatever you have to do to get here. And be here. Be in your place. How about it? How about it in your giving? I don't preach on money a lot. Everybody says evangelists always preach on money. And I'd say, no, we don't, but here I am preaching on it. But I don't preach on it a lot, but I would say, amen, some of you've been given and you've been faithful, and the Lord's saying it's time to step it up. Time to take it a little further. Time to really put your faith in God. But you're saying, well, I just, you know, we got these bills, and I don't know, I just, you don't know what? You don't know if God's able? You don't know if God has it to take care of you? You know what I found? He's faithful. And he's loaded. It's not like he's hard up, amen. He's able. Brother David Gibbs, I heard him make this statement. He was talking about giving. He said, never resist a generous impulse. And boy, I've been guilty. Brother Gary, I've been guilty at times. You know, we'll have a missionary come through or an evangelist, and I'm sitting there. Well, you know, my first thought will be, give $100. And they'll say, no, no, well, that wasn't the Lord. That wasn't the Lord. God, 20, 20. You say, well, you know, you could be going into a hole. I know this. If you're given to the work of the Lord, He's not going to let you go under. You may have to do without something you were really, really wanting. But He's going to meet your needs. You take care of God's man. You take care of God's people that this preacher brings through here. And I've heard stories. I've heard that you do. And I thank God for that. Amen. That's a blessing. Hey, but let me say, God will take care of you. He'll take care of your family. He'll take care of this church. You just take care, amen, of the work of God. He'll take care of you. Amen. He ain't let you down yet, has he? Yeah, hey, come on, think about it now. You be honest. He ain't let you down yet. He has not failed you yet. You need to get God out of the box. Maybe just give a little bit more. Maybe you need to witness a little more. Telling people about Jesus. Passing out tracts. Amen. Maybe you need to step outside your comfort zone this year and just tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not good at talking to people. They got gospel tracts back there. You can take you a handful of tracts, and it's good when you can say something, but if you don't have the courage, man, all you have to do with the tract is put it in somebody's hand. And as a matter of fact, it'd be easy how easy it is to give tracts out. There's so many ways you can put tracts, and you have no idea what kind of a effect they have on people all across the country. But see, the problem, here's the big problem. We want to lead them to the Lord, and we want to be able to go to church the next week. So I led somebody to the Lord, and that's exciting. I'm not knocking that. That's exciting. I'm not belittling that at all. But a lot of times we don't want to give a tract to somebody, because a lot of times we'll never know whether they got saved or not as a result. But honestly, when you get down to the bottom line, what does it matter whether we find out or not, as long as they get their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the important thing. We put tracts in our bills. When we send our bills in, we'll put the check into a tract. And as long as we're paying them on time. If you pay yours late, that's a bad testimony. Don't put them in then. But amen, we put them in our bills. We put them in different things that we send off. We get a lot of credit card offers, you know. They're trying to get us in debt. And, you know, I ought to send them that message I preached this morning, you know, about credit cards, you know. Say, here, quit sending us credit cards. But they send us all these credit card offers, and we don't ever take them. But what we'll do, they give you that it's paid for envelope to send it back. We stick a track in there and send it back to them. And they're paying for it. What more could you ask for? Don't cost you a dime. We need to be getting the gospel out, though. This would be a good year to just step it up a notch and say, amen, I'm going to witness more this year. I'm going to tell more people about Jesus Christ, our service toward God. What about this? Here's where it gets ugly. What about our separation? What about our separation? It's still in the Bible, you know.
Right.
Amen. I don't want you to think I'm some legalistic preacher, amen, that's going to come here and beat you to death, amen. But you can't get around it. Right. Amen. If you're going to stick with the Bible, if you're going to call yourself a Bible-believing Christian and have a Bible-believing church, you can't get away from it. The Bible still says, 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. We're to be a different people. We're to be a peculiar people. We're to be a holy people. Let me talk about one extreme of this thing, and then we'll come back to probably what I think would be the right extreme. We've got We've got people all across the country. Amen. Even probably some, even maybe some of you young people here tonight. Everything looks just right on the outside. You're dressed just right and it looks all nice and proper and it looks holy. But inside there's bitterness and there's hate, and you despise the way your mom and daddy make you look. You despise the short haircuts, boys, and the ties and the suits. Maybe you despise the dresses and the skirts, girls. Maybe you despise that. Hey, that's not holiness. Just because you look holy does not mean you are holy. Amen. And I listen, you can call me charismatic all you want, but I am a holiness preacher. But let me say, holiness, hey, this is the shallow side of it. True holiness, it starts within. Amen. It's something that starts inside your heart. It's something that says it's a desire to get close to God and walk with God and live according to His Word. And as that grows inside your heart, amen, it will eventually show up on the outside. But I dare say I grew up in a church around a bunch of them, and it seems like fundamentalism is putting out a lot of Bible college students nowadays that everything looks just right on the outside, but it's wrong on the inside. And let me say, you can be clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. But you can never be clean on the inside and dirty on the outside. Amen. If you're trying to walk with God and live for God and be separated from this world, amen, it'll show up on the outside and you'll look right. You'll look right, amen. You'll have a desire, amen. And I'm not off of this extreme where I think you got to look homely and you got to look just down and nasty all the time. Amen. Hey, ladies, I'm for you putting on some makeup every once in a while now. Amen. I'm for that. Amen. I'm for dressing nice. Nothing wrong with that. I try to have a little sense, amen. I don't think you have to look like a down and out bum. God's people shouldn't. But at the same time, we're to be peculiar. We don't have to go following after every little fad that comes out. Amen. You see something in the mall on Saturday night, you can count on it. It'll be in the church on Sunday. And that shouldn't necessarily be. We need to get back to that. Amen. And let me say, there is a difference between biblical standards and personal standards. There's a difference. There's things in this Bible that you are not going to get around as hard as you try. It's just there. You might as well accept it, suck it up, and live by it. Amen. Because you ain't going to change it. Well, they're trying. I correct myself. They're trying. They're not changing the Bible, amen, because of the these and the thous. Amen. They're not changing it because they don't like what they don't understand. They're changing it because they don't like what they do understand. Amen. So they try to change the Bible to fit their lifestyle. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to make our lifestyle fit God's Word. Amen. There's some things you're not going to get around, but then there's some things like me personally. And this is personal. I don't like men that wear pink shirts. I shouldn't say I don't like men that wear them. I don't like the fact that they wear the pink shirts. And that's a big thing now. But I mean, I grew up in a time where, you know, if you wore a pink shirt and you were a boy, you were going to get beat up. Amen. And growing up, I was a runt. I was short. I had freckles on my face. I wore glasses. I was just the target, man. So the last thing I needed to do was add on a pink shirt to make it even worse. Amen. And I just made up my mind when this new fad came out of guys wearing pink shirts all the time. I just made up my mind that if I thought it was weird back then, it's still weird. But let me go on to say, that's personal. It's just personal. Just because some man may go out on a limb and wear a pink shirt, it doesn't mean I'm any more spiritual than he is. It doesn't make me a better Christian. Might make me a little bit more of a man, but I'm just saying, it's personal. And you better be careful. You better be careful about discerning that difference. Because that's where you draw that line of what's right and just living right and legalism. Maybe the Lord lays on your heart that you need to get rid of your television. And He may do that. Now, I don't preach against TVs, and there's a good reason for it. I got a big one in my living room. So I figure I ain't got no business preaching against. I do preach against probably 95% of what's on the thing. If not more. It's a mess. But maybe the Lord says you need to get rid of your TV. Because maybe you just can't control what you're watching or how much you're watching it. And he's liable to do that. And so you get rid of it. But all of a sudden now you can't fellowship with anybody that has a TV. All of a sudden you say, we got to find a new church now. That, you know, the pastor's got a television. We got to find us a new church. That's stupid. That's ignorance. Amen. God told you to do something, and the reality is you can't stand the fact that He told you to do that. And the fact that He's given other people the liberty to do what you cannot. And so you're mad about it, and you're bitter about it, and the fact is your attitude's wrong about it, so you might as well just put the TV back in your house. Because God's not going to bless it with your sorry attitude. Well, that was fun to say. But let's turn our little box around now. Some of you need to get closer to Him. Some of you got things in your life that you really need to get rid of. Some things that are hurting you and are hindering you. And it might not even necessarily be material things. It might just be some inward attitude problems. And you need to get it right. Amen. Some of you, you've grown a little cold since last year. You've grown a little bit cold and hard since the last revival you had here. Let me say, you need to get God out of the box and just get a little closer to Him. Just get a little closer of a walk with Him. Some of you, the only side of God that you know is His chastening side. Because you never live for Him. You're saved. But you're not walking with Him, so He's constantly after chasing you. Why don't you just get your heart right with God and find out how sweet He can be?
Yes.
How wonderful He can be, and how loving He can be if we just do right. Some of you got some music in your life that you know should not be there. Well, I like it so much, preacher. I like it so much. Don't you think God could give you some better music?
Yes.
Don't you think God could make you love songs that bring glory and honor to Him? Don't you think He could put a taste down it? I mean, the world gave you a taste for that junk. The devil gave you a taste for that junk. Don't you think God, as good and as wonderful and powerful as He is, don't you think He could change your taste? Those movies you watch, well, you know, the cussing, boy, it bothers me. All that cussing, it bothers me, but boy, it's such a good story. Well, then by all means, just help yourself. Don't you think God could help you? Some of you got a problem with your mouth. You like to cuss a lot. I just can't control it. That's because you're not trusting God to help you. Don't you think He's able to help you, to give you some good words you can say? He's able. He's able to do it if you'll just trust Him. Some of you, there's just some stuff. Some of you got some deep-rooted stuff in your life. Maybe there's some men in here. Maybe you got a problem with pornography. I can't get rid of the computer. I'm not against computers. We were looking at some church websites last night on the computer. I'm not against it, but if it's bringing you down, if it's killing your relationship with God and your family, you'd be better off without it. There ain't nothing on there that important. What's it going to take, though? I heard somebody say one time, it costs you nothing to get saved, but it'll cost you everything to live for Him. It'll cost you something. If you want revival in your life and in this church this week, it's going to cost you something. Revival does not come cheap. It never has, and it never will. And once again, I didn't bring revival with me. I'm trusting that the Lord will use me this week to help this church see revival. But ultimately, it's up to you sitting in the pews whether you have revival or not. So if you don't have revival this week, and I've done the praying I'm supposed to do, and the studying that I'm supposed to do, and the preaching I'm supposed to do, if by the end of the week I can say I've been faithful to do that, and you don't have revival, don't leave here saying, well, that preacher just, well, blah, blah, blah. You might want to examine yourself. How bad you want it? We could talk about our singing, getting God out of your box and you're singing, you know. how we sing. We all like different kinds of music. Christian music, but I mean different kinds. I mean, we're up in New England, and y'all are a little bit more round mouth, a little bit more proper. And that's fine. That's just the way y'all are up here. Down south, we're going to twang a little bit. And it's not because we're trying to be George Jones, amen. It's not because we're trying to make the country music charts. It's just the way we are. And you don't have to like it. You don't have to prefer it. That's fine. But it don't mean there's nothing wrong with what I do. I've got preacher friends, I mean good preacher friends, that pastor in different parts of the country, that if they brought me into their church, I would scare their people to death. They'd be running out the door. They'd be hiding under the pews. And that's fine. If I'm going to be an inconvenience to their church, then I don't need to be there. But now those preachers, they're my friends. So they don't criticize what I do or how I do it. We get in meetings together and we get along just fine. But we all have differences. Some people don't like bass guitars. You know, some people don't like, there's people that are just different on their music. But it don't mean one's right and one's wrong, this or that or the other. Now you get into this stuff of your contemporary music and what they call Christian rock, which there's no such thing as Christian rock. You get into that stuff, there's a problem. There's not a right spirit with that stuff. A lot of the Southern gospel stuff they put out anymore is nothing but junk. But there's some good music out there. And if you want to listen to it bad enough, you can find it. We're talking about getting God out of your box. The preacher was telling me yesterday, they were on a ferry here a while back, several years ago. They were on a ferry in New York, and he said there was a lady that was going around the boat preaching with all her heart, telling people about Jesus. And if I'm correct, she was giving it right, too. She was straight about it. You say, are you putting a stamp of approval on a lady preaching? No. No, I'm not. But I just have a feeling in my mind as I thought about this. I was thinking about it last night. I really doubt God was up in heaven saying, I'm going to smack that lady. I'm going to strike her with a bolt of lightning. She's not supposed to be preaching. What is her problem? No, I have a feeling he was probably up there saying, well, none of the men have enough guts to do it. Help yourself, lady. You wouldn't find me trying to shut her up. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Once again, I'm not condoning women preaching. As a matter of fact, I'm very much against it. But if a man won't step up and do it, what are we supposed to do? Well, amen right there anyhow. Go to Ephesians chapter number 6 and we'll wind this thing up. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 5. The Bible says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Let me say number 3, we need to get God out of our box in the will of God. In the will of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the dead center of God's perfect will. I'll be honest with you, there's been times I've drifted a little bit here and there, and it's a miserable thing. It's a miserable place when you're out of the will of God, even if it's just something that to us seems so little. It's miserable. And a lot of times, are you listening to me? A lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll be doing the will of God in our actions, but our attitude's wrong. And when that's the case, you're really not in the will of God. If your attitude's wrong about it, well, I'll do it. You know, the preacher asked me to do this. I guess I'll do it. But I don't want to. Well, you probably ain't going to get a blessing from it. The preacher will get blessed because you still get the job done and it was a load off his mind. But you're not going to get blessed because your attitude was wrong about it. Let me say, we need to surrender completely to the will of God. I mean wholeheartedly, completely, teetotally sell out to the will of God and what He wants for our lives. And I believe what I'm seeing a lot of nowadays is people that just partially sell out to God. And really, I guess you can't even call that selling out to God. Amen. We've got people that say, God, I'll be a missionary. Lord, here I am. I'll be a missionary for you. Oh, but don't send me to that country. Not that one. Lord, here I am. I'll be a pastor. Lord, I'll pastor a church, and in your mind, you want a big fancy church. You want to be running 500-600 people, amen. Amen. You want a big paycheck and a big salary, amen. Amen. But you don't want to work for it like them old preacher men did. The ones that stayed at it for 20 and 30 years to get all them people, to get a good paycheck. You don't want to do that. You just want to have something right away. Oh, well, I don't know. Not that little church. Lord, here I am. Oh, don't send me there. Don't send me to California. They're a little bit fruity out there. Don't send me there. You got God in a box. And you need to say, God, whatever you want, wherever you want, however you want to do it, here I am. I'm your servant. Not so somebody can pat me on the back. Not so somebody can say, way to go. But Lord, just because I love you,
amen,
and you gave your best for me, and I want to give my best for you. Surrender. Sacrifice. And let me say, there's satisfaction in the will of God.
Yes, sir.
There's satisfaction like this world cannot give. There's a peace that you can't get in this old world when you live for God. Some of you this week, some of you tonight, you're holding on to something. You're holding on to something that God wants. And He wants to use your life in such a great way, but you're holding on. You're holding tight to your box. God wants to use your life. But it'll take some sacrifice. Are you willing? You want revival this week? You want to get Him out of your box? You want it? It's going to take some prayer.
Yes, sir.
You want it? I mean, I'm not talking about, oh, as you walk through the door, Lord, help us. I'm talking about spending time in prayer. Sacrificing something that you would like to be doing, but you know you need to be praying for revival. You want it bad enough? How about it, girls? You want revival this week? You want it? What about that sin you're hanging on to? You willing to get it gone? You willing to get it out of your life? How bad you want it? Are you willing to humble yourself and move to an altar? Not just for a quick little fix it up prayer. Just to make mom and daddy happy, young people. Just to impress mom and daddy. Hey, are you willing to humble yourself and really do business with God? How bad you want it? I could pump a revival, Brother Gary. I've lived in the South long enough. I know how to pump a revival. But I'm sick of that junk.
Yes, sir.
I want to see the real thing.
Yes, sir.
You want it? You know what you need to do? You need to just get God out of your box.
Hey.
Get rid of the box.
Hey.
And just realize that God is God. And He can do whatever He wants to do, however He wants to do it. He'll use whoever He wants to get the job done.
Amen.
And He's going to do it. So we might as well just get with the program. His program, not our program, His program. You want it? You willing to spend some time to get it? It may take some time. We may not get out in time for you to get home to see your favorite television program. You may miss a ball game this week. How bad you want it? Get God out of your box. Piano player, you go ahead and come to the piano. Just pick out whatever you want to sing. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The altar's open. God is able and God is willing. Are you? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for helping us preach tonight, God. There sure was a lot of liberty here. I probably even went maybe a little long. Lord, there's some good people here, and they gave me some good liberty, and I'm thankful for that. Lord, we need you this week. Lord, I don't want to get up here in the flesh. I don't want to get up here and pump something up just to say, look what we did. Lord, we want you to do something that we can't do. God, we want you to show up in a powerful, supernatural way, God. And do that work that only you through the work of your Holy Spirit, God can do. I pray that you'd move on hearts right now, God. I pray that these people would have a genuine desire to see old-fashioned revival, an old-fashioned moving of God. But Lord, we do know and we realize it's going to cost us something. There'll be some sacrifices, God, if we're to see that old-fashioned moving. God, I hope these people are willing to pay the price. Lord, if there's anyone here that's lost, I pray you'd save their soul, Lord. Please don't let them leave here. Please don't let them leave out of here and die and go to hell, God. We want to see them get saved. Lord, please move now during this time. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. Lord, we'll give you all the glory for everything that's said and done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.